to be prayed for, and that those who are doing the praying can open themselves to pray for others. We believe that that's just part of the basic disposition of God, which is to give good gifts to His children. And I trust that nothing that you will hear tonight will unsettle you or be disturbing to you in any way, although one never knows when one approaches the Lord and says, "Speak to me," if God will speak the things that we think He ought to speak. I know in my own life when I'm facing a situation that I'll want to come together for prayer and have somebody pray for me, that very often what it is that the Lord says to me has nothing whatsoever to do with the situation that I originally came for. But God really likes to talk to His kids. And more than anything, that's what I want you to see tonight. The Bible says a wonderful thing, that we have been given the Holy Spirit as a pledge. It says that at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and also in Ephesians chapter 1. The notion of the Spirit of God being like a down payment. And of course we know that it is the pledge of eternal life and the down payment of a life forever with Him filled with joy. But I like to think of it also as being a pledge of all that's going to come and all that's going to happen. And the way that the Holy Spirit of God was allowed to come into your life and to fill your heart is a very miraculous kind of thing. And sadly, many of us, once we get saved, we adopt a very respectable and logical mentality, and we disallow God from doing the miraculous again. And we think back, oh, wasn't it so wonderful when we first got saved? And just remember the way that the Lord moved, and wasn't that so grand? And I'm sure that it was. But God wants to continue to move and do a grand work in each of us. And so in a moment, I'm going to explain something of the logistics for how this is going to work out, for we truly want every one of you who wants to be prayed for, we want you to have opportunity to be prayed for. And there's about 7 or 8 different groups of people who are our ICU leaders who will actually be doing the praying this evening for each of you, and then their assistants are going to be kind of helping keep the lines from, you know, forming and getting too long. And I don't know exactly how it's all going to work out, but we're family. I know I should never admit that to you, especially if you're visiting. You think, oh, brother, I knew it. This guy didn't seem like he knew what he was talking about. So, you know, I just like to... Anyways... But before we get to that time and talking about that more in particular, I want to just take a moment to describe something that the Lord alerted us to this afternoon. And it came through the phone call of someone that here in our body, a woman in our body that I know and love and respect very much. And she called because she was troubled by something that had taken place this morning, and she couldn't even put her finger on what it was. But she ended up leaving the service this morning very discouraged and almost despondent, just really feeling overwhelmed. And when she told me that, of course, my first response was, oh no, I've really blown it. You know, I thought I preached on the right thing. Maybe I didn't, or maybe I didn't pray enough, or, you know. Those feelings of your own inadequacy and your own error and mistake never go away. They may not seem like I've got those things, but I'm plagued with them as much as anybody else. And you just decide to keep moving even though you think you're a jerk. That's my motto, you know. So, of course, if others think you're a jerk, then you're maybe time to quit, but I don't know about that. So that was my first thought. Then I thought, nah, that just sounds like the devil. That's not God talking, telling me I'm an idiot. And so the second thing I thought was, well, maybe this particular girl, you know, there was a point of bondage in her life where she remained shackled or tormented by something that wouldn't let her even hear the words of life and encouragement that the Lord was giving this morning. So I thought it was a very encouraging message. So I thought, well, maybe there's something with her. And yet, the point of wrestling, see, as the Bible says, our warfare, this is Ephesians chapter 6, you can check it later on. Our warfare, the struggle that we're engaged in this life, is not a struggle or a warfare against flesh and blood, against normal kinds of circumstances that can be explained. And I almost like to translate that sometimes. Our warfare is not against explanations. You know, there are people who have got explanations for everything, but they forget that our warfare isn't against those kind of things that we're able, well, maybe it's just this or just that. Our warfare is always against powers and principalities, demonic forces that want to do damage and bring hurt and harm to all of God's people. So this particular work of the enemy that was to be like a cloud or a fog kind of coming in, I knew that this woman had already experienced great freedom in the Lord from it. And so it didn't make sense to me that maybe she was just having trouble with this thing again. And the way it manifests itself is kind of in an attitude of real heaviness and despondency and being almost overwhelmed. And so finally, you know, quick-spirited man that I am, you know, one, two, I'm on three now, these don't seem right. I start thinking, hey, you know, maybe she's just discerning something that's going on in a larger scale, and that this cloud or this fog, this heavy kind of oppression, this discouragement is something that she is alerted to because she has known freedom from it, and it's just kind of wanted to encroach its way upon the whole body. Yeah, you know, that sounds great. I find it. Here I am. I'm getting it. Now, the point of bringing all this up is not even to alarm anyone. There's certainly nothing to be alarmed by. But there was a real heaviness, a kind of a death that wanted to find its way into the crevices of all of our lives. And it struck me as so peculiar how the Lord said that this year, as we're coming up to, was going to be a year of sanctuary, where we would be freed from those that would, you know, want to bring us harm, those things, those influences, those powers of evil that would want to do us harm. And I really believe that we're to experience even that this very evening. And several of the ICU leaders and assistant leaders and myself got together before service and just prayed, like we haven't had a good prayer time like that in a little while, and just prayed to break all of this garbage. But I want to just pause in what we're doing and just talk to the Lord and thank Him that He gives us victory over every kind of death that wants to work its way into our life. And so why don't you join hands with the people that are around you, if you can stretch to them. Ah, yes. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that Your kingdom does not consist of nice little ideas and meaningless words. But Your kingdom is power and the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as You are so eager to bring release, and as You are so strong and so mighty to vanquish an enemy, we ask now that You would search throughout our hearts, throughout this room, as it were, and find every shadow of death and light it away by the presence of Your Spirit. Lord, we know Your word says that Your Spirit searches all things. And so we invite that scrutiny. And where there is death, let there be life. And where there is a spirit of fainting or mourning or heaviness, let there come a mantle of joy. And deal, Lord, with things that we don't even know how to name. And so we say in Jesus' name, Jesus, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, in Jesus' name, we say to all of that death and heaviness, you be vanquished. For in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of His Spirit, there is liberty. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. I love the scripture where Jesus says, if I, by my little finger, cast out demons, then you know the kingdom of God has come upon you. I love to just imagine the hand of the Lord just coming down, There's sometimes when to see all of the Lord's life and liberty worked, we need to protract things a bit. But sometimes in the grace and goodness of the Lord, He just takes care of it. Now, speaking of taking care of it, boy, this is going to, if you only knew the mixed bag of things that we've got for tonight. I don't know how it's coming across, but we're just going to work our way through them. Hallelujah. Over the next several weeks, you and I are going to have several little chats. And these chats in particular relate to our children. And we are just expecting the Lord to do such a marvelous thing with our kids. And I don't even know all that it means. I'm kind of thinking, hey, maybe let's just throw away the curriculum and do something good with God with our kids. Of course, the Sunday school workers are giving me this sign after I say things like that. I don't know what's going on, but something very, very special is in process with our children. And I really want to invite you to have a part in that very special thing that God is. In fact, you could say it this way. The special thing that's going to happen to our children is some of you. And I don't know who you are, and this is not a recruitment speech, although it would make a very good recruitment speech at that, I think. I really want you to consider working with our children. And I don't mean filling a slot or putting in your time. Like, you know, some people think of it like a penitentiary or something. Well, I served my time with the four-year-olds. You know. Probably if you have that attitude, they're going home thinking, although they don't have the vocabulary for this, they're probably going home thinking they've put in their time with you. And they have served whatever prison sentence was meted out to them. They probably don't even understand it, you know. The rest of my friends have a great Sunday school teacher, but I got this old ogre, you know. Something's going on with the kids, and you won't want to miss it. Just for instance, tonight. Speaking of tonight and children, we are four workers short of having an adequate care for our children. I don't know if you all have, well, you obviously all don't have kids. But it distresses me as a father sometimes to think of one or two of my kids in a room with 30 others and maybe one or two workers. Very little good is going to come out of that scenario. You know, bad company corrupts good morals, and so do a lot of kids when left together. So I think we even need them right now. Is that correct, Tony? So if you would like to go and get in on the special thing that God is working even now among the children, we really just need four of you. We only have room for four of you. So if four of you would just stand up and make your way to that back corner and work your way, one, two, three, four. You got it. Marvelous. Yes, thank you. Oh boy, hallelujah. Well, ushers, I think we probably better take the offering before we get into this rest of what's happening. Brad, do you have a song for us that we could sing? You probably do. While you're doing that, ushers, will you come and let's pray together. I have such a mixture of anticipation and all bubbling over in my heart right now. Oh, look at that. They're moving over to fill in the seats. I am so impressed. That's just great. Well, hallelujah. Jesus, again, we come to you with just joy in our hearts. Do what you want to do tonight, Lord. And bless this that we give unto you in our tithes and our offerings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my pastor's heart wants to say a million things, but it's mostly my concern lest any would misunderstand. But I guess I feel like if you misunderstood what was being spoken, then nothing I can say is going to change your mind. It's an awesome thing to be addressed by the Lord. And sometimes you get words like that word that are so full you hardly even know where to start eating. And so I just kind of put it away in my pockets, everything I can, you know, stick away to mull over and think about later on. The Lord's work is marvelous in our eyes. It's His doing. And we must be ever careful to acknowledge Him and His place. And the one thing that I most appreciate about receiving a word like that, aside from the affirmation of the Lord saying, you know, that you've done okay, because we're all prone to those doubts and thinking that our walk with Jesus isn't enough. Every day, I think, my walk with Jesus is a total wreck. And that never changes. But I appreciate mostly knowing that the Lord has set Himself to do a good thing and that I get to have a part in it. And we together get to have a part in it. And so thank you, Connie and Jean, for your faithfulness. And I receive that word. It's the kind of word you like to receive, you know. But I do receive it. And I look forward to what God will be doing. I want to just mention one last time about our birthday party. And if you haven't yet RSVP'd, the ushers will have these on the way out. Gary, everybody turn around and look at Gary in the red and black checkered shirt. He's got those cards. If you need one, you can fill it out and give it right back to him. And really do be praying that God will release through you a really exciting chunk of money to give to ourselves. I mean, wow, what fun. Well, we needn't presume upon the Sunday school workers any longer. Let's thank them very much. And remember what I said earlier, God really is wanting to do something special with the kids, and you may very well be a part in it. And let God put a burden in your heart for them. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Or no, we'll see you Tuesday night. Okay.